How's it going, everybody? This is Pat Loika, and you're listening to Loika Mania Episode 2. Today I'm going to talk about a few things I've been reading in the last week, and some things I've been watching as well. There's going to be some talk on last week's Lost, some talk on X-Men Second Coming Chapter 2, which is Uncanny X-Men 523, S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1, and Deadpool and Cable 25, or it's actually Cable 25, but they've been retitled. And I also wanted to talk about the latest Vertigo Crime graphic novel, Area 10, by Christos Gage and Chris Somney. Please, sit back, relax, and listen to Loika Mania. The show. This is Pat Loika once again, and of course the show is all about me, what I'm liking, what I'm reading, what I'm watching, everything around the spectrum that is me, Pat Loika. Yes, I know it's an egotistical thing to, you know, it's an egotistical show, but what the hey. Other people are doing it, and I plan to do it better than they do. So this week I checked out a couple of, I picked up a lot of books last week, but there were three really big books that stood out for me. There was, of course, Uncanny X-Men 523 by Matt Fraction and Terry Dodson, which is part two of Second Coming. And we continue the story of Cable and Hope finally back in the present day on the run. And, of course, hot on their trail, we have Bastion and his forces, and, of course, the X-Men. Some big developments within the X-Men take place in this issue. Of course, I will not spoil this one because it's only been a week. But let's just say there are some people who are not happy with Cyclops right now over some of the things he's been doing. And, of course, there's more... there's a lot of character development for Hope and Cable and their dynamic, which, you know, if you've been reading Cable up to this point, you know they've been running around through time, trying to run away from Bishop. They finally got home, and, of course, Hope's kind of grown up since then. We get to see Hope kind of enjoy trying to be a normal person for a little bit, so it's nice to see this take on her. Of course, Matt Fraction's script is very sharp, lots of cool moments there, particularly the cliffhanger ending, which is great. I will not ruin it for you, but it's always cool to see Cyclops play general and have all the... every other mutant out there, you know, following his command. Next up is Deadpool Cable 25, or the title formerly known as Cable number 25. And this is actually, this kind of ties into Second Coming in a way, because this is a prequel to what happened in Messiah Complex. Now, if you have not read Messiah Complex, it's basically about the birth of the first mutant since M-Day, where the Scarlet Witch declared that there will be no more mutants, and somehow the mutant gene was eradicated. And this tells the story of how Cable came to possession of the child that was born, Hope, and it was through the assistance of Deadpool. And this is probably one of the funniest comics I've read in a long time. It's kind of fun, you know, the story takes place in the past, but of course, since the actual story took place, there have been a lot of developments in the comics industry, so there's a lot of great in-jokes about the industry itself, and Deadpool's really, really well written here, particularly, there's a gag about, you know, the sheer number of Deadpool titles that are coming out lately. And it's really well done. I don't want to ruin it for you. You just have to read it for yourself. Included also in this book is a nice cover gallery of Cable and Deadpool covers by various artists, including guys like Mark Brooks, Patrick Zercher, Rob Liefeld. Of course, there's also art by Amanda Connor here. And there's also... Features here. There's a variant cover for this. Of course, I picked up the regular cover by Simone Bianchi, and there is The book is written by, of course, regular Cable writer Dwayne Straczynski and artist, Deadpool artist, actually, Paco Medina. So it's a nice blending of the creative teams from the two books. So this is truly a Cable and Deadpool book. And if you're not quite sure about, you know, this book, if you weren't feeling Cable for the last couple of years, I recommend that you pick this up, because, you know, not only is it the final issue of the book, but it's really, really funny. It can stand alone by itself, and prior knowledge of the X-Universe is really not necessary. So, once again, pick up Cable, Deadpool 25, whatever you want to call it. And finally, though, for as far as single issues go, the best comic of last week is S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1 from Marvel, written by Jonathan Hickman, illustrated by Dustin Weaver, and colored by the amazing Christina Strain. You don't need to have any knowledge of the Marvel Universe to read this book. If you do know the Marvel Universe, it just makes this book so much better for you. Just because, I mean, it doesn't make it better as far as, you know, the content's concerned, but it's just that there's a lot of nods, a lot of little continuity-related stuff here that you will probably enjoy. There's a lot of continuity porn here, and there's a lot of cameos as well. I mean, this is basically about a secret society of people that are, of course, trying to protect the world. And it's, you know, it's about this conspiracy of light, but, you know, that, you know, came about from the since the Egyptian times, you know, from they're all inspired, or they follow on the footsteps of the Egyptian Imhotep, who fought off the first brood invasion of Earth. And it just gets better from there. I mean, I'm not going to ruin anything else, but I mean, the title of the story alone, you know, will kind of get you, you know, the story arc is entitled the Unholy Resurrection of Leonardo da Vinci. If that doesn't pique your interest, I don't know what will. And, of course, it's got a lot of high concepts. It's very, very much in the vein of Jonathan Hickman's image work, which is, you know, stuff like the Nightly News and Pax Romana. Actually, this reminds me a lot of Pax Romana in some ways, but really, it's a fantastic read. If you're looking at the art, though, Dustin Weaver's stuff really, really reminds me of French or European graphic novels. It's just so detailed. And, of course, the color, the coloring by Christina Strain is just... it's just amazing. It's a very bright book, actually, as far as the coloring, the palette that they're using here. And I'm just running out of words to talk about this book with, because it's just so good. And I can't wait to see where this goes. I do not want to spoil anything here. Like, if I thought I already shared too much by telling you about the whole Imhotep thing, but if you're gonna pick up a Marvel book, you know, if you're gonna try out a new Marvel book, let it be S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1. I believe they've sold out, but they are going into a second printing, and there are two versions of number 1 out there. There is a black and white version, which is all pencil art by Dustin Weaver, and of course there's a full color version. So either way you go, you're a winner here. And I mean, I picked up both because that black and white art is fantastic. And I dare you to name all the cameos that show up in this book, because there's quite a bit of them here. And I figure you will probably enjoy what you read. Next up is a Vertigo crime graphic novel that I picked up last week. It's called Area 10. It's written by Christos Gage and illustrated by the brilliant Chris Somney. And this may be the best book out of the entire bunch. I'm avoiding spoilers here because it's pretty unseemly for me to tell you to buy something and then tell you what it's all about in one fell swoop. But this is probably some of Chris Somney's best work, and apparently he drew this like quite some time back, so he's gotten better since then. But this is some fantastic stuff by Chris, and Christos Gage, of course, this may be some of the best stuff he's ever written. And I really hope that more people are trying out these Vertigo crime books, because it's a really, really good line. There's something, you know, there's a little something there for everyone as far as crime fans go. I mean, they go a bit more towards the fantastic with the Dark Entries book, which features John Constantine. And there's, of course, you know, the traditional, you know, crime mob books like The Chill or Filthy Rich. So please, check out this line, particularly check out the Area 10, because this is so worth your time. This is such a great project, and I hope Vertigo keeps doing these for the long haul. And I'll be back in a little bit to talk about Lost and then answer some email, so I'm going to take a break. Welcome back, everyone. At this point, I want to talk about some stuff I've been watching, and last week, Lost really blew me away. It's a Desmond-centric episode, and the ramifications of this episode will be felt for quite some time, just because of what the possible ending may mean. I'm not going to... Again, I'm going to avoid spoiling, because I have friends who listen to the show and are picking up Lost only for the DVD releases, so it would be a bad idea for me to kind of ruin it for them. Suffice it to say, this episode is a bit of a game changer, because now we're seeing a bleed between the two stories that are running concurrently. I don't know how they came up with this idea. I mean, it's been done before. I mean, this, as far as, someone who reads comics, this is something that we've seen before, but the way they use it on TV without making it look really cheesy or dumb, it's quite fantastic. And as usual, the best characters in the series show up here. Of course, I already mentioned it's a Desmond episode, but there is another character who we haven't seen in a while make an appearance in the show, too. And again, I will not spoil the surprise. So, Lost, see it, find a way to see it. Then another thing I've been kind of getting back into, I mean, I've been alluding to it on Twitter for quite some time, but I've been rewatching The Wire. And it's not really to prepare to watch Treme, because Treme is probably something I'm going to have to wait DVD for, because I don't have HBO right now. But it just amazes me how well written that show has been, and I've always liked the show since I first started watching it, but it just makes it even better. I mean, there's a lot of really crappy TV going on right now, and there are a few shows that really catch my interest, like Lost and to some extent 24 and Chuck, but this kind of show was made for me. I mean, whatever happened to the long overarching story arcs in TV? I mean, aside from 24, nobody else seems to do that anymore. I mean, Chuck actually does a little bit of it, but, it's not... There's a lot of shows out there that are so formulaic, and they just do the whole, get this thing done in an hour, type of mentality in the writing. So, it's a pleasure to kind of rewatch this show and kind of see how great this thing was. I mean, the cast, of course. I mean, there's enough out there on the internet about The Wire already that you don't really need for me to repeat everything you've heard. It's just something that I've really, really been spending a lot of time on lately. I can't seem to draw or do anything without watching that show for a good amount of time. And even though I've rewatched the entire series in like 5 times already or something. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Anyway, if you get a chance to Netflix or rent that or pick up the series itself, do it, because it comes with my stamp of approval. Now, something different now. I've been playing around with the App Store on iTunes, and I picked up a game recently. A game that I never thought would translate well for the iPhone, and it's Street Fighter 4. I am amazed by how well this game translates for the iPhone. I mean, you only get 8 characters, which is unfortunate, but hey, it's an iPhone game, and 8 characters is actually quite good. I have been playing this a lot in the last couple of days since I bought this thing, and I'm amazed at how responsive the controls are. The animation is actually pretty good, considering it's an iPhone game. And, you know, the graphic style, there's a lot of things here that just shock me. I mean, I can't believe I'm playing this game on my phone, and this is, the graphics on this thing are far better than anything I had on my, say, PlayStation, or even Nintendo 64. It's quite an achievement in what they've been able to do with mobile gaming. If you're a fan of Street Fighter or fighting games in general, I recommend you pick up Street Fighter 4 on your iPhone if you have an iPhone. It's $10. It's really well worth it. You're going to lose so much time playing this game and so much battery life out of your phone. It's not even funny. Anyway, we've gone to the part of the show where I talk about... well, actually, not talk, but I answer some questions. And I do have an email here from Jeff Sutter over at Marvel Comics. He is the host of the Mighty Marvel podcast, which you should be listening to, because he does some great, fun interviews. It's too much fun for it to be a corporate-sponsored podcast, but it is... you know, very enjoyable. He gets a lot of great creators on board, talk about, you know, the various projects and all that. And Jeff is asking me, why does your avatar look like you want me dead? He is referring to my avatar on Twitter. The avatar that you see on Twitter that I use is actually a... it's a cropped image from a faux movie poster that my friend put together as a class project a few years ago. And... The poster itself is going to be attached to this episode, and it'll come up on the show notes. One last thing I wanted to talk about is a webcomic that I've been checking out lately, and it's called Comics from Space. Just go to comicsfromspace.com. It's by a fellow named Dewey Bass. Really, really fun comic. It's about, of course, a group of space explorers, and just, you know, it's kind of like a slice of life comic, but it takes place in space, in the space station. It's a lot of fun, lots of really funny jokes. It's updated 3 times a week, and it comes out on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, actually, and I highly recommend you pick it up. They've never missed a beat. There's quite a large inventory of strips that are available to be read online right now. So if you go there, come and check it out. They also have a forum in the community there that I also recommend that you check out, where they put out, you know, there's all kinds of talk about the comic and other things, but there's also a cool little sub-forum called Comics from Life, where various members of the forum, whether they are, you know, artistically good or not, they put together little blog comics about their day. It's kind of like what I've been doing in my blog called, you know, The Daily Path. I also post there, and it's actually a fun little community. I recommend that you check it out, and, you know, tell them Pat Loika sent you, because, you know, I'm all about spreading the love. Speaking of spreading the love, though, and webcomics, I would like to congratulate a couple of good friends of mine, Jim Clark and Dave Wachter. If you remember them from Scar Tissue, then you probably heard of their newest project. It's called The Guns of Shadow Valley. It's a webcomic. And I remember being with these two guys when they came up with the concept of the, you know, this webcomic. And we were in our San Diego Comic-Con booth back in 2007 at the Dial R Studios booth, and they were talking about what their next project was going to be. And from there, it just grew, and it turned into this fantastic webcomic. If you haven't heard the news lately, though, this webcomic, The Guns of Shadow Valley, that you can find at thegunsofshadowvalley.com, has been nominated for an Eisner Award for Best Digital Comic. And you have no idea how happy I am to hear this, because these guys, you know, we all started in the industry together at the same time, and nobody works harder than these guys. I mean, absolutely nobody. I mean, I work my ass off, but not as much as these guys do. Dave especially, because of, you know, he handles all the art, and he does, you know, pencils, inks, colors, all that stuff he does by himself, and he puts out a fantastic product. Whenever they update the strip, and it comes out every other day, I believe, it's just such a good webcomic, and it's such a well-deserved nomination. I'm just full of pride right now, because these guys, you know, they're friends, you know, and they're doing such a phenomenal job with their book. I'm so glad to see them being recognized for it. I believe they will both be at the San Diego Comic-Con this year. Hopefully, they go home with an Eisner Award, because, honestly, I don't see anyone else deserving it. I mean, yeah, they're up against some really stiff competition, some really, really good, you know, webcomics, great talent in all of them, but, you know, my heart says the Guns of Shadow Valley takes it home. And that'll be it for this week. Once again, thank you all for listening. Feel free to send me an email at theloika@gmail.com. Once again, it's spelled theloika@gmail.com. Send me your questions. Send me your recommendations. Just talk about stuff, and then I'll comment about it. And you follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/patloika. Add me as your pal on Facebook, facebook.com/patloika. Of course, just go to my website every week or every day if you want, patloika.com. I post random stuff here and there, blog entries, and post some daily comics about my life and daily sketches, and of course, some random. I've been doing this new feature about some of my favorite art pieces in my collection that I've been posting, kind of like what Andy Parks has been doing in his blog, but of course this is my own thing. And be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. We would really appreciate it. Again, thanks for listening, and I really hope you're having a good week. So until next time, take it easy. To Loika Mania. All views expressed in this podcast belong solely to Pat Loika and his guests, and do not reflect the views of Derek Howard and the Deliberate Noise Network. For feedback or questions, please send them to theloika@gmail.com, and that's spelled theloika@gmail.com. And this podcast is a trademark of Pat Loika, all rights reserved, 2010.